here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zacks Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zacks Friday Finish Line. I'm your co-host, Maddie Johnson, and today I'm joined by Eric Dutrim, an ETF strategist here at Zacks. Ryan is attending Tech Week Chicago, which is a tech-focused conference happening here in the city this week. So, Eric, welcome. Thanks for filling in.
Thanks for having me. I got some big shoes to fill, but I'm going to do my best. So,
thank you for being here. And I will say it's a bit of a relief not to start the show with breaking political news, though it looks like Senate Republicans are planning to vote before the July 4th recess on their legislation to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act. So we could see that anytime in the next week.
We can save that for when Ryan's back. You and him can talk about that next
so
time.
So stocks throughout the healthcare industry could see increased volatility. So who knows with that industry. It's really been up and down since President Trump took office. But in arguably bigger news, Beyonce reportedly gave birth to her twins over last weekend. I don't know if you heard that, Eric.
I did not. I'm not up to date on this stuff. You're supposed to clue me in on it.
Over the last weekend, who are rumored to be a boy and a girl. It's very exciting. There's even rumored names swirling about, Sean and Bay, or B, which I kind of hope is fake. I really hope it's not true, because Sean after Sean Carter, a.k.a. Jay-Z, and B or Bay after okay. Beyonce. And I actually, fun note, if you type Beyonce into Microsoft Word, and if you don't have the little accent mark on the E,
it's
incorrect. So Microsoft Word, is in formation.
And it sounds like you're working Beyonce into a lot of your articles around here, too.
Yes, so. I stand for her. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. Every day, all day. But anyways, moving on to our first subject, oil. They're entering a bear market.
The opposite, completely.
But Eric, why don't you fill us in on that?
Yeah, so oil is actually down about 20% since January. And this is kind of a big surprise for a lot of people because things were looking pretty good for the oil market heading into the new year. But then we saw, you know, some demand numbers were just kind of okay. But it's really more of an oversupply situation. It's kind of technical. We got Nigeria and Libya. They're producing a lot more than was initially anticipated. And the shale production here in the U.S., that's kind of the big deal more than anything. Even though prices are a little low, projections are now that the U.S. will produce about 10 million barrels a day in 2018. And that's up from about 9.22 million barrels a day in April. So it's an 8% increase that's forecast over the next year or so. And I mean, we're not really seeing a whole lot of increase in demand, definitely not an 8% increase in demand. So that's kind of putting a lot of pressure on the oil prices and the energy sector at large. The ETF, as you noted, I'm an ETF guy. The XLE, it's down 15% year to date. It's actually the only major sector down at all 2017. So every other segment in the market is up. Oil, not doing so well. Not looking too good for the future as well. Don't you think it's going to be hard to break out of this trend?
Yeah. And how do you think, how low will prices go? So on Tuesday, I noticed that oil prices sank over 2% and they were down to just about $43 a barrel. Do you think they'll go any lower?
I think we'll probably test the high 30s. After that, it's really going to depend on what happens with Saudi Arabia. If they start to pull back a little more, they've got a new guy over there in charge of some of the operations, a new prince. And we're going to have to see what he does when he gets a little more acclimated. But it really depends on if the lower prices curtail some of this production in the U.S. too. We haven't really seen that just yet, but it's really just a production story. And if people end up cutting their production or not, and so far they haven't been, and that's why we're where we are with oil.
Yeah, and Nigeria and Libya are part of OPEC.
Yeah, but for whatever reason, they've got some exemption going on. I think because, you know, things haven't been going too well in either one of those countries. And they got exempted from a lot of the cuts. And, you know, imagine that. They're producing more now that they're exempt. So
almost what are you going to do about it? I feel like with oil, it's always like, well, we have it. So
right. Might as well get out of the ground.
Just produce it.
Exactly.
This industry.
Yeah. Are you worried at all about the stocks in this space too? Because we're seeing a lot of weakness. Do you think they're going to continue to be the bad performers for the rest of 2017?
I think perhaps. Yeah, I guess like compared to. Well, it's definitely one of the more volatile sectors for sure.
Sure.
And you look at tied to I guess like broader international and broader global concerns. Definitely, I think going into the second half of the year, for sure.
For sure. And then I know another story that we've been watching is that of Uber. And I know you're a big Uber fan, but the co-founder and CEO there officially stepped down from his role, the ride-sharing giant. And it looks like investor pressure is what pushed him out. Are you at all surprised by this news? Or
no. So the announcement came about a week after Travis Kalanick, CEO, co-founder, said he was taking a leave of absence, citing the death of his mother and other personal concerns.
Yeah. It was like a boating accident or something.
Yeah.
Right?
It was
pretty strange.
Yeah. And five of the company's most significant backers wrote a letter titled Moving Uber Forward, and in which they recommended that Kalanick step down immediately. So I guess it's not surprising that it came so soon after that decision to take a leave of absence. So I guess like they were discussing for hours and he just apparently agreed after the discussion, but Kalanick is still going to be on Uber's board. So he's not all the way gone from Uber. He definitely will have a significant presence. And I think he always will. He founded this enormous, significant company. I don't know. What do you think about this decision?
I think it's a little weird for the timing just because Uber doesn't really have any executives at all right now.
No,
they're completely no leadership at all. And so to take out another person from the equation without having anyone at all seems kind of crazy to me. So it's really more of a question of who they get back in there to me, as opposed to taking someone out halfway, it sounds like. So that's going to be one of the main issues, I think, going forward. But it's hard to feel too bad for the guy. He's going to be a multi-billionaire pretty soon. And I think
I think the
investors are saying at this point, hey, like, you know, you're kind of the lightning rod of stuff here. We need to get you out of here.
So these investors... I wrote them down. They're Benchmark, Fidelity Investments, First Round Capital, Lowercase Capital, and Menlo Ventures. They own over a quarter of Uber's stock, and they have about 40% of the company's voting power.
Yeah.
So they have a huge stake in Uber. So I feel like at this point, they're just like watching Uber slowly just swirl the drain. Is that the phrase?
Yeah.
Just like, just kind of... It's like scandal after scandal after scandal, and they have so much money invested in this company, and they need a change. They needed to make a change. They don't want to lose any more money than they probably already are losing. And they're like, you need to leave, Travis. Goodbye. Like, and Travis was like, okay, well.
Right. It's all about the brand, I think,
at this
point.
It's all about the brand.
And
the brand.
Yeah, I've seen some speculation that the valuation for Uber has gone from $70 billion down to about $50 billion. You know, we've seen some, you know, different ranges, but hey, if you're an investor and you own this 25% of the company, that's a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. Yeah.
So I think that's definitely weighing on their minds. I'm not sure if you saw, but some speculation about who might replace Travis. Sheryl Sandberg, I think, was brought up. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Well, I read her book, Lean In, so I have a lot of respect for her. She's, I think, the CEO, COO at Facebook.
I think so, yeah.
Chief Operating Officer. Yes. Get my management terms down. I think she would be a great addition to the company. She would definitely be a response or a pushback to...
The whole bro culture.
Bro culture, sexual harassment. Look, we're bringing in this high-powered, successful woman. Get a little bit of diversity into Uber.
She literally wrote the book on the topic.
On that, yeah. So, I don't know. That could be Ariana Huffington is on the board.
Yeah.
So I think that she had mentioned that as well.
Yeah, and then just one other thing I want to say about Travis. It seems to me he's one of those CEOs where he was absolutely crucial in getting the company to where it is today.
Sure.
But, you know, to lead a giant mega company like it is now is probably requires a different person than the guy who was, you know, fighting with all these cities and getting past the taxi lobby and all that stuff. So I think they just need a different person for this stage of the company. And Travis might not be that guy.
Yeah. And I will say to your point about Uber being a mega company, Uber has, I feel like, passed the point. I mean, Uber is part of the public consciousness where it's become a verb.
Right.
We're Ubering somewhere. We need to, I need to Uber somewhere to get, to go to Target. Or I've bought too much stuff at some place, so I gotta get an Uber. It's, even if I'm calling a Lyft, I say I'm getting an Uber, but right. I'm really,
it's like Kleenex or Q-tip.
Exactly. So there's no denying the impact it's had
on culture.
On culture, on industries, on the auto industry, on everything. So I don't think Uber it's definitely been negatively affected by everything that's happened to the company over the past years, or really since the sexual harassment allegation against it, I think back in February, but really before that. But it's not going anywhere,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Definitely not. Probably some more big things come down from them down the pike, especially when we see the autonomous vehicles. So I think that'll be the next.
There you
next
go. 2020, that's the year. but moving on from Uber, probably take one this weekend. But to Amazon and Whole Foods, we can't stop seem to wondering about the possibilities of the pending Amazon-Whole Foods merger. So to recap, last week, Amazon announced plans to buy Whole Foods, which is everyone's, love to hate, organic grocery chain for $13.7 billion, or about $42 a share. It sent the grocery space into a free fall. Just everywhere. And stocks like Kroger, Sprouts Farmers Market, Walmart, Target, and Costco all took huge hits in the wake of the announcement. It also marks Amazon's biggest acquisition to date after they scooped up Twitch Interactive for $970 million in cash back in 2014. But a Whole Foods acquisition presents a huge opportunity for Amazon, and it not only gives them an quote-unquote in to the food business, even though they were kind of already there. They had that Amazon restaurants, they had Amazon Fresh, but this is like an official, they're in. but it also gives them a huge source of potential distribution centers. So I can't believe it actually happened. Still, they haven't, like, just kidding. I guess my first question is, what do you think the long-term impact will be on consumers? Do you shop at Whole Foods?
Not really. I'm more of a Trader Joe's guy. I go to Whole Foods once in a while. It seems too pricey, but I do love the stuff at Whole Foods when I do get it.
My favorite part of Whole Foods is their salad bar. It's so expensive, but it's a phenomenal salad bar. The hot food bar, priceless.
The two slices of pizza for $5. That's
such a good deal. Yeah. But do you think Whole Paycheck will become no more?
I think Amazon is going to do their best to really slash prices to the bone and find a way to get in good in this market. And part of the reason is Amazon, they have their cloud division, the AWS system, and that's kind of the profit center for Amazon. And I think they can use that to generate profits and then basically continue to sell everything on the retail side at cost, more or less. And What is Kroger going to do about that? You know, like, they don't have a cloud division to rely on. They have to make their money from selling the groceries. You know, Amazon and now Whole Foods isn't going to have to necessarily do that. Clearly, investors don't really care if Amazon makes a ton of money or not. We've seen that over the last decade or so. So I think that's the real threat here, is that Amazon slashes prices as much as possible, more or less sells at cost, and that's going to really kill a Kroger, Super Value. Both those stocks were down about 25% since the announcement.
Super Value.
Yeah, and it's hard to really like the long-term case there. And I think even the Fed has been talking about the impact of deflation, more or less, on food prices. And I can see this definitely taking place here. Another name I think is going to be hurt by this is Target. I feel like that's sort of in this whole trying to be more upper class segment, you know, the whole Target thing.
They've always been the chicer option, especially compared to Walmart. And their food, their grocery section has never really taken off.
Yeah,
because they've always been more expensive than Walmart. And that's fine. I will go in there. I would prefer to go to Target besides Walmart, but I won't go grocery shopping there.
Yeah.
I would spend twice as much at Target for my food than I would at Walmart.
Right. Yeah, so I think they're going to be hurt by this, because why bother going to Target for any groceries at all at this point, especially if we see some more integration between the Amazon Prime and Whole Foods, which is my personal dream, that, you know, they'll have discounts at Whole Foods if you're a Prime member. And I think it could turn into something where they figure out, okay, Prime members live within three blocks of this Whole Foods, and they generally order these items. Let's keep these in stock. I think that's the real benefit to this deal, and I think that's, once again, something a lot of these other players, they can't compete with. Like,
right.
Kroger seems like they're kind of screwed in this situation, but maybe we'll see some more buyouts. I know Blue Apron has been talking about an IPO. Do you think that could be a possible candidate to be bought out by someone?
Maybe not Blue Apron, but definitely one of their competitors now. So, I mean, there's a billion HelloFresh plated. There's a vegan option. I forget the name. There's Sunbasket, which is like purely organic food. There's like a Southern inspired option. There's,
jeez, you're really up to date on this.
Yeah, there's Marley Spoon, which is owned by Martha Stewart.
Okay.
And then there's this Daily Fresh, which is it was invested, or Gwyneth Paltrow, aka Goopy, and Serena Williams had invested in this company called Daily Harvest, which specializes in smoothies and like chia. Okay,
I can't help you. I don't know where you're going for.
Like overnight oats. And smoothies.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. Other things is, I think you can get soups there, but it's like Blue Apron, it's like a subscription service for smoothies.
A Netflix of smoothies?
A Netflix for smoothies. So I could definitely see some, like one of those get bought out potentially by Walmart or another big box competitor, but not Blue Apron. I feel like their IPO is slated for next week. But it could definitely be affected. I mean, their IPO price is between $15 to $17 a share. It might not go that high. It might not reach that range.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I'll have to check that one out next week for sure.
Yeah.
Do you have any concerns? I've been seeing a little bit about this in the news lately. People are throwing around the word of antitrust with Amazon and concern that, hey, Amazon just really is going to end up controlling so much of so many different markets. Is that a concern at all? Do you think maybe the government is going to get involved with Amazon eventually and kind of say, hey, pump the brakes here. You kind of control too much of the retail world. Do you think that's something to worry about for investors?
Perhaps, but I feel like Amazon has been clever in the way they've, I guess, dominated certain sectors and certain industries where they're all different enough from each other.
Yeah.
But maybe the government is catching on.
Yeah.
I guess I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I guess because a company like Amazon maybe was bound to own everything in the end. I mean, Apple owns a lot.
Sure. I think Google is a great example
yeah,
of, you know,
owns.
Can we even
the
name
internet.
Three other search engines out there?
Right.
So. So I kind of feel like those claims are a little unfounded at this point. Maybe we'll have to revisit that in a couple years if every grocery store goes out of business.
I'd be more concerned with, I think those claims are more valid when big mergers happen in...
Like oil or...
In oil, healthcare, like you see rumors of like an Apple-Disney merger. Or
like a Comcast,
like the cable company mergers.
Where it's a true monopoly.
The Bayer-Monsanto mergers, stuff like that where you're like, okay, slow your roll a little bit. You know, you're really kind of pushing the line on when it comes to consolidation.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And Bezos is clearly not slowing his roll.
He's not. Anytime soon. No.
So I'll definitely be interested to see what happens at Amazon. And assuming this Whole Foods deal goes through.
Yeah. I guess, and maybe one last question, do you use Instacart?
No, I do not.
They have a partnership with Whole Foods, and I think we talked about this last week, and I wonder what will happen to them, because now Amazon will take over that role. Instacart has a partnership with Whole Foods where Instacart workers will go in, fill orders, full grocery orders at Whole Foods, and then deliver them to customers. Now I think that'll just be it'll be Amazon workers now. It'd be
up in the air. And one other thing about Instacart, someone on my kickball team, yeah, that's right, I'm in my 30s and I'm on a kickball team, but they were saying they are a delivery person for Instacart.
Okay.
$30 an hour. So that's a lot higher than I thought it was going to be, for sure. But who knows what's going to happen to any part of that business. And is that the kind of money Amazon is going to have to pay to bring people to deliver? That's going to really slash margins, too. I had no idea it was that high. But, you know, maybe that's just one example here in Chicago. Who knows if it's like that across the country. But definitely something to look at. I think the labor issue is going to be big.
Definitely. Well, I think that does it for today's episode of Friday Finish Line. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, shoot us an email at podcast@zacks.com. You can also check out all of our other exclusive audio content, like Eric's solo podcast, The Dutrum Report, at zacks.com/podcast. And remember to subscribe and leave a rating on iTunes. Thanks for joining, and we'll see you next week.